So
it's Britney, bitch.
It's Britney.
You know what you should read.
It's time for What You Should Read, the podcast all about the titles you need. Join three book lovers and a guest as they cover all the best new titles to enjoy with your tea.
I have that, but I haven't read it yet.
Hi, I'm Julia.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Kelly.
And this is What You Should Read,
the podcast where we should all over our books.
And we're back. We are back from hiatus, and we're joined by Kendall, best friend of the pod. And today we are going to be discussing all the book news that we've got to catch up on since we last recorded. Plus, we're going to be talking about, yes, we're doing it, the Britney Spears memoir, The Woman in Me, which we all read pretty much as soon as it came out. So
it's Britney, bitch.
It's Britney. So we're very excited for today's episode. First, I'm going to turn it over to Kelly, who has a misprint, bringing back an old segment.
Yeah. So in our last episode, if you remember, I know it was a long time ago, I said a lot of things that ended up being completely wrong. And I think actually pretty much everything I said, except for the recommendations I made, it's all wrong. So first, I know I said my mom was doing better, and she was until she wasn't. She passed away about a month ago, and that's where we've been. It's been, as you can imagine, a really horrible time, but it's also shown me just how amazing my friends are, including these three here. And I am so lucky, shitheads. Just really the luckiest. I love you guys too. Don't make me cry. I'll take it all back if you make me cry. But I also was a lot more generous about the breakup than I should have been, looking back. And I don't want to get too much into it, not so much because she deserves, you know, kindness or whatever, except, you know, as humans, we all deserve kindness, whatever, I don't know. But it's because I don't want to waste another second of my life dealing with the breakup, thinking about her, whatever. It's just, it's over, it's done. We're definitely never going to be friends because as it turns out, my criteria for being a friend is a lot higher than my criteria for being a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And she could not meet that. And don't worry, shitheads, I will be investing in major amounts of therapy. Because, you know, girlfriend criteria should not be super low.
Yeah. We've got your back, and I feel like you are amazing. And I know you don't want to say too much about it. I could say stuff if you want me to. I could say plenty, but I won't. But yeah, you're amazing and we love you.
Very requited. You know, I know we've talked about doing another drinking episode and another should talking episode.
Yeah.
So let's just, you know, let's save it for that. Okay. And shitheads, hey, if you give us some more subscriptions, rates, and reviews, I bet it'll happen a lot faster.
Ooh, incentive.
Yeah. You can even, I guess, decide what we drink if you do a nice enough review. So,
oh, that's. Hey, that could be dangerous.
So dangerous. Yeah,
there's some motivation for you guys.
All right. Well, we are going to now discuss what we're reading this week. Kendall, I'll start with you. What are you reading?
I am reading The Jackal by Erin Adams. The front cover says it's a mixture between Get Out and some other like horror thing. So I was kind of into it. I had to take a little pause, but so far it's been kind of creepy and atmospheric, which is like perfect for this time of year. So I'm starting to get back into it.
Nice. Cool. Rachel, what about you?
I am reading the most ridiculous book right now. Yay. So my town had a little arts fair a few weeks ago, like a art walk, outdoor kind of thing. And there was a booth there with a local woman who self-published a novel. And it's called Truly, Madly, Deeply. The author is Jennifer Rudy. I feel a little bit bad the way I'm going to talk about this book, because I do like to support local authors and things. But this book is not good. It's not like horrible. Like, it could be a lot worse. Like, there's actually parts of it I enjoy that I'm like, I could see this being part of a good book.
But... like a sentence or two here or there.
Right. Sure. Or like a scene or like a, you know, a thing, a plot point that I'm like, oh, that's fun. But then there's just no like overarching plot. Like, there's no like, this book is not telling me anything as a story. It's just like following this girl as she's going in through high school in the 90s. And it's very like, I don't know. I don't like the main character. And not in a way of like, there are some like main characters that I don't like that are still entertaining to follow. But this main character is just very grating on me. It's like, I want to just be like, you know, she's not like other girls.
Oh.
We'll put it that way. She's just such a Mary Sue. She's good at everything. She's doesn't believe she's cool or pretty, even though everybody constantly tells her that. And she's like, I'm above all of this high school trying to be cool thing, you know? And I'm just like, shut up. No, you're
not. Also, that book is huge. Just looking at it in your hand is massive. The size of a dictionary.
It's 730 some odd pages.
Oof.
It could have used some editing. There's no editor.
Yeah.
She had like one beta reader for I don't know what reason. And it's not it's not very consistent. Like, it's set in the 90s, but there's definitely slang and things from like the early aughts, very clearly the early aughts. Like, I keep texting Kendall to confirm, like, this wasn't a thing in the 90s, right? And she's like, yeah, it wasn't. So
I do see that on the post. Of course they are.
Yeah.
So I see on the back it says all that in a bag of chips in very big letters. And I'm like, oh,
it's so
good. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. It's just like, whatever. I am like almost 300 pages in, and I am having fun reading it because it is so fun to laugh at. It's so, I'm so mean. I'm a horrible person.
A wonderful person.
Yes, you are. And also, I'm getting a lot of enjoyment out of you reading it because you keep texting me the craziest parts.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love that. So keep that up. I'm glad you have 400 pages left.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's fun.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's fun. It's like watching a bad movie and laughing, you know? So it's, sorry, Jennifer. Like, just, I think you just need an editor, maybe. I don't know. But that's what I'm reading right now.
All right. Cool. Kelly, what are you reading?
I'm reading The Vampire's Promise by Caroline B. Cooney. It's an omnibus of her vampire trilogy. I read the first one a whole bunch of times as a kid. I think I might have read the second one. I did not read the third. So I am now on the second book in the trilogy. It is also ridiculous. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep going. I read some of it to Josh, so I'm going to read. This is, okay, granted, from the second book and the third chapter of that book. So, you know, I am dropping you in the middle, but this is what I'm reading. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
You are not. Arissa sighed in relief when biology lab ended. Even her sigh was lovely, as if her soft pink lungs expired only the finest air. This is my second time taking biology, confided Arissa. I just can't seem to pass a science class. I don't like thinking about any of that science stuff anyway. It makes me nervous. I don't think it's fair to have to know what's under the skin.
Kelly, this is rotting your brain. Like, I don't think it's healthy for anyone to read this.
Which one is worse? Mine or Kelly's?
I tuned out when Kelly was talking about, my brain can't hear stuff like that.
I just Wow. Even her sigh was lovely. Oh my God.
I read like four paragraphs to Josh. That was one. But I think I need to stop.
Are your eyes hurting from like rolling your eyes as you're reading?
No, because I roll my eyes constantly, so I don't even notice it anymore.
I mean, that's pretty brutal. That's
yeah.
It's kind of fun, like to enjoy the train wreck, you know?
Yeah. It's a good time, but I don't know that I can keep it going for like another 300 pages. So I guess we're in the same boat, Rachel. I guess we'll see what happens with both of us.
All right. Sounds good.
Cool. I am reading Black Cake by Charmaine Wilkerson. Ooh. Yeah. I know you read it, Rachel, right?
Mm-hmm. I did too.
It is great. It's well written. It's an interesting story. I'm about 100 pages in, and it's about these two siblings, Benny and Byron. And they're adults, and their mom dies, and so they've been estranged from each other, and so they have to come back together because their mom left them a recorded message of something she really wants to tell them about her past or the past, something about their family. I'm not quite sure, but it's great. It's a great book. I'm glad I picked it up.
It's going to be a movie soon. I think I saw a trailer recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's on Hulu. Yeah.
Cool. I was like, I knew I saw it somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that makes me so happy.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I'm eager to get back to my hammock to read more of it. So.
Well, we've been gone, as you know, for quite a long time. So we've got, unfortunately, a lot to talk about.
I hope they missed us.
I'm going to imagine they did.
Yeah. They did.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Well, first of all, and this is really the only super good news, LeVar Burton is going to be hosting the Book Awards, which are next month, November 15th. He really, I would say, should have been doing it this whole time, but it was originally supposed to be Drew Barrymore,
right.
But they changed their minds after she wanted to bring her talk show back, even though there was a strike. So, you know, that's gross. Don't be a scab. But yeah, then they ended up tapping LeVar Burton. And why, I mean, if you're going to have a celebrity do book awards, why not do LeVar Burton?
Right. Like, and does Drew Barrymore even have a book club or something like that? It doesn't make sense that she would be tapped, you know, get Jenna Bush Hager, you know, someone who actually like Reese talks Witherspoon. About books. Yeah. Reese yeah. Witherspoon might be too big of a star to do it. I don't know. True. But.
Yeah. You could probably get Jennifer Garner. I mean, granted, she doesn't have a book, but I think one of her best friends is Laura Dave, who is an author. And, you know, get Jennifer Garner. She's great. But yeah. So LeVar Burton. LeVar Burton for everything forever. That's what I think. I wonder
how Drew Barrymore is feeling, because she definitely walked it back, right? She changed. She said, okay, fine. I won't. Mm-hmm. Bring my talk show back, but by then the damage had been done. So
yeah.
And she did one of those apology videos where she purposely didn't wear makeup and like right. was in the Barris room in her mansion yeah. to videotape herself apologizing.
Oh yeah, Christ PR 101 right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would really like to know like the thought process behind that. Like I just sort of picture her texting friends or a publicist or something and being like, do I look sufficiently rough? Is the room sufficiently barren? Do I need to make it even worse?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, should I make it look like I haven't slept in 3 days? What do I do? Is this okay?
Yeah.
And the other really big thing that happened, Scholastic, which, you know, did the book fair every year. The one of the highlights of my childhood, elementary oh, yeah. school years, really, the Scholastic mm-hmm. Book Fair. They made it so that libraries and the book fair would have to actually opt in to featuring diverse books. And usually you would have to opt out, but they made it so that you would have to opt in. And as you might imagine, there was a big outcry for it. And the president of Trade Publishing ended up basically apologizing and undoing it. But it will be undone starting in January. So it's not like they just, you know, immediately fixed it. There will be more book fairs this fall, but they said it will be discontinued starting in January. And that they're working on a pivot plan now. But they say, and this is a quote, our commitment to BIPOC and LGBTQIA plus authors and stories remains foundational for our company. Scholastic believes in the basic freedoms of all individuals. We oppose discrimination of any kind, and it just keeps going. I mean, you know, you've seen corporate apologies, so I imagine we could pretty much say what the apology says and be pretty accurate without even looking, but
yeah. And they claim the reason they did it was because with all the book bans going on, they didn't want to put teachers and librarians in the position of getting like fired or like arrested or whatever. But a lot of the like opposition to what they did was like, you guys should be standing against those book bans. Like, you should be taking a stance against censorship. And this just seems like you're like, censorship is okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know who can afford a lawsuit? Scholastic.
Yeah.
So if someone's going to stand up, it needs to be them.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be representing like children reading. So
yeah,
it's pretty gross that this happened. I mean, obviously, like, this is a great outcome, but it's really pretty dark that it happened in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
especially because the kids who need books the most are the ones that need those books. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's sad that, I mean, even if they're fixing it, like, some kids have been affected by this, right? Yeah. Like, there's some kids that didn't get the chance to have access to books that maybe would have helped them with something.
Right, if a teacher forgot to opt in or didn't see that part of the application.
Yeah. And just to put this in perspective, I just double checked and Scholastic is still the publisher for Harry Potter in the US. So Kendall is, of course, right. They can afford anything. They've got that Harry Potter money.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, they're fine.
And JKR, like, takes that money outside and burns it in barrels, basically, given how she's been acting. And she still seems good to go. So
Yeah.
And the last thing is more, I guess, of a discussion starter than anything else. So Millie Bobby Brown, I don't know the best terminology to use here, came up with a story idea, hired a ghostwriter, and it has been published, and apparently it's been doing pretty well. Like, a lot of people have been buying it. I didn't, because I don't really do World War II historical fiction. But then a lot of people, when it came out that she had a ghostwriter, a lot of people have been very angry about it. I saw one woman who was basically like, you know, people are going to buy this book instead of books that real authors wrote, which, I don't know, like, that comment, I think, bugged me more than anything else, because it's like, a real author wrote it, not the person whose name is on the title or on the cover, but a real author did write it.
Do we think the ghostwriter's getting royalties, or were they paid a flat fee?
I would bet flat fee.
Yeah, they're not going to see anything if you buy it. They've already been paid. I was kind of annoyed by that she published a novel with a ghostwriter. It would be like if I said, I have an idea for a painting. Mm-hmm. It should have a sunset and mountains and this lake that I used to go to as a child. And then I hired an artist to paint it for me and then signed my name on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't make any sense. It makes sense if it's a memoir, which kind of leads into what we're talking about later.
Yeah.
And right, that the
memoir is your life.
Yes.
So even if you didn't pen the whole thing or hardly any of it, like, the profits you're making off of it is your story.
Right.
They said that it apparently is based off of her family's story.
True.
I don't know.
Grandmother or something, or great grandmother, somebody.
Yeah.
It's still not nonfiction, though.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
It's fiction. Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting that this is getting so much traction, because this is definitely like not the first time this has happened. Like, I remember as a Kardashian fan, I will take responsibility and accountability for that. Probably 10 years ago, Kendall and Kylie, quote unquote, wrote a book. And it was a like sci-fi dystopian YA novel. And like, I feel very confident in saying they probably didn't write it. I mean, like, come on.
I have not heard of that.
This is definitely not the first instance. It's just interesting that this is the first time it's like really getting a lot of attention. I mean, it might be because Millie Bobby Brown tends to get a lot of attention for everything.
She's everywhere. Does. It's so annoying.
Yeah, people are obsessed with her.
Yeah. It's weird that she's also engaged at 19. I have a lot of thoughts. I don't need to, you know.
I have a lot of thoughts too, and I don't want to have them because I don't care about Millie Bobby Brown, but I can't escape her.
Yeah. No, she is everywhere. I mean, she has a makeup brand. She's on like the biggest TV show kind of all time. She's all over like the tabloids because she's getting married and she's so young. She made headlines a few years ago because she claims to be best friends with Drake, who is like in his mid-30s, and she was like 16 at the time. There's always like a lot of drama surrounding her, so it does not surprise me that there's drama surrounding a book that she would write.
Yeah.
Or I should say write in quotations if she didn't work on it at all. It is just strange because typically you hear when a celebrity is working on a memoir with a ghostwriter, you hear about their, you know, the process that they went through where they discussed everything with the ghostwriter and they, you know, went through their story and then they went back and said, well, that's not exactly how it happened. And we don't get any of that here because she just gave them like a sketch of a story.
Yeah.
So it's odd. It's odd for sure.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, like, because this has already happened, I think this is probably the wave of the future for celebrities and their
gross. Weird. Yeah, it's like almost, it's almost like I wouldn't want to like read any but like book that was by someone who was famous for something else that purports to be fiction. Cause I'm like, are they using ghostwriters? I don't know. It's just like, it's weird. I don't know how I feel about it 100%, but it definitely doesn't lend me to wanting to read it. I don't know. Does anybody know if Tom Hanks used a ghostwriter for his novel that came out this year? Like, I don't know.
I would think for a lot of celebrities writing novels, I would question whether ghostwriter.
I think Steve Martin wrote his because he had multiple, right?
Yeah.
And he has a background in writing. So I guess that's not as like shocking to me, whereas like someone with no writing experience.
Right.
Now it's like, okay.
Yeah. Also, like, I believe Chris Colfer wrote his books that he had. He has a middle grade fantasy series. And I believe he wrote them because I tried reading one. It wasn't that great.
I Googled and we don't know. Somebody heard that he actually spoke it and then somebody transcribed it, but I don't know that that's true.
Wait, who, Steve Martin or Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks, sorry.
Okay, interesting.
All right, should we move on?
I think so. So next is recent acquisitions. I'm very excited about this segment. This is where we talk about the books we've recently bought, borrowed, or been given. And since it's been a while, a few of us might have a few to talk about. I know, Julia, you said you didn't have that many. So do you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah, I don't think I have that many. I bought the Britney Spears memoir, of course, on Libra FM because I wanted to listen to it. And then a book was suggested to me. And it's Caster Semenya's The Race to Be Myself. She is a Olympic runner and Olympic gold medalist. And I forget where she's from, but she was the subject of some controversy where people questioned her gender. and saying that she wasn't a real woman and that she was a threat to the sport. She had an unfair advantage. And I've known about her story for a long time. And they made her go through genetic testing. And it turns out, I don't know if she would identify as this, but she's intersex, basically, as it turns out. But she identifies as a woman. You know, she always has since
she's raised as a girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So it's just always been sort of a fascinating story for me. And so her memoir popped up. And so I decided to buy that. So I'm excited to listen to that.
Cool. I need to listen to that because I've always been really interested in that story.
Yeah.
It was just forced upon her.
Right. It's in every sociology book.
So unfair that she.
So bad.
Had to be the poster child for something that had nothing to do with her.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yes. And then from the library, I got The Collected Regrets of Clover by Mickey Brammer. And I read it and I really liked it. It was a 4-star read. It's about a woman who's a death doula. But she also is kind of living her life scared. She doesn't have many friends. She doesn't go out a lot. She's just kind of stuck, you know? So it's kind of a interesting, fun book about a woman sort of coming out of her shell. And then last but not least, I got The Leftover Woman by Jean Quoc. And it's a book of the month selection. So this is what I got for book of the month for October. And as I'm saying this, I'm realizing it's the end of October now. So we're going to be picking for November soon. Nice. And that's it, I think. It's hard to remember because we haven't recorded in so long, but I think I've been pretty good. I've been holding myself back.
Cool. Kendall, do you have any recent acquisitions you want to share?
Well, I do have a stack of books I bought in Baltimore that I haven't read yet.
Oh, yeah.
So I need to do that. But I did read Happiness Falls and I loved it. It was so good. You Yay. Guys were all right. It was excellent. 10 out of 10. Like, loved it.
Mm.
But the next book that I'm planning to at least listen to is The Jolliest Bunch, which is by Danny Pellegrino, who is a writer, and he has a pretty well-known podcast that talks about Real Housewives, which I think I'm the only Housewives fanatic here. But he wrote a memoir last year that was really good. And this year he has these short essays about holidays in his family growing up. And he's really funny and I love his takes on pop culture. So I'm really excited to listen to it. And he has a really distinctive voice. So I'm really glad that the audiobook is read by him because it just kind of adds to it. So that's the next thing I'm planning to listen to.
Cool.
Kelly, let us know what you have recently acquired.
I feel like this really should be a mini-sode because I have not been good. Roxane Gay has a new book out called Opinions, so I got that. We are in the Halloween season, which, as you know, is my favorite time of year. So I got Damned If You Do by Alex Brown, Midnight is the Darkest Hour by Ashley Winstead, The Haunting by Natasha Preston, Autumn Crow High, Fresh Hell by Cameron Chaney. Sorry, I am old and I'm reading this off of my phone. I got Out There Screaming, which is an anthology of Black horror edited by Jordan Peele. I am very excited for that. I think the last time we did this, I had just finished Suburban Hell by Maureen Kilmer. Yeah. So I have her new one, Hex Education, but I haven't read it yet, as I do. Grave Expectations by Alice Bell. All That Consumes Us by Erica Waters, The Lost Causes of Bleak Creek by Rhett McLaughlin and Link Neal, The September House by Carissa Orlando, and What Kind of Mother by Clay McLeod Chapman. And I got The Heartbreak Years by Minda Honey, which I really only got because Cheryl Strayed recommended it, and I love her. So Oh, and I finally got Page Boy, which is Elliot Page's memoir. Yay. I've been, since I read the Britney Spears memoir recently, I've been kind of in a, I want to read all the celebrity memoirs right now. So I also, yesterday, of course, got Matthew Perry's memoir. Mm. So, yeah.
I've heard really good things about that one.
Same. I've heard that too. Yeah.
So. R.I.P.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Page Boy is also really good. I read that earlier this year and gets dark.
Did you read it with your eyes or did you listen to it?
I listened.
Okay. Does he read it?
He does. Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. It's good.
I'll have to get that.
It's on my Audible list, but I haven't listened yet.
So my recent acquisitions, I just added another one because I had forgotten Opinions is out. So thank you, Kelly. I did just buy Opinions with an Audible credit. I do love Roxane Gay. And I got Book of the Month this month. I got two. Hold on. The Unfortunate Side Effects of Heartbreak and Magic by Brianne Randall. And The Unmaking of June Farrow by Adrian Young. So I haven't read anything by Adrian Young, but I've heard good things about this author.
That's a Norton author, I think.
Oh, cool.
Maybe not. I might be thinking of a different author.
This is Delacorte Press.
Okay, yeah, I'm thinking of someone else.
Okay.
Well, she wrote Fable, that series that Kathy really likes. So
that's what it was. Yes, I was that sounds familiar. And then I realized, Fable, which I still need. I also want to read that series. So those are the two. And then I got four Christmas books.
All right.
This one was gifted to me, my friend Christine, who's been on the pod before. Actually, last time we talked about celebrity memoirs, she was on the pod, but she accidentally got two copies of this book. It's called The Christmas Orphans Club by Becca Freeman, and it just seems like a cheesy, cute, Christmassy book. And then I got Emily Stone's new one, Love Holly, of course. I got Tessa Bailey's Christmas book, Wreck the Halls. She's been on the podcast before. And I got A Holly Jolly Ever After by Julie Murphy and Sierra Simone, which I'm very excited for. Sequel to their book that came out last year, which I forget the name of now.
A Merry Little Meet Cute.
A Merry Little Meet Cute, that's right. So we got to plan our Christmas read-a-thon so that I can read all these books in a weekend.
Oh, I hope the quality of the books we read is right up there with last year's.
Oh, last year was such a disaster.
I was like, well, we know it won't be that author, but I don't remember her name.
Mm. Which is unfortunate. Duo, Maggie Knox.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Because we loved their first book.
Yeah.
We did. Yeah.
Not a good follow-up.
I would give them a third chance. Like,
I'm done.
Like, fool me once.
Yeah.
And other than those, the Britney memoir. So
yes. We are going to talk about it. We're going to get into all the details, give our opinions, our thoughts. I can't wait. Let's take a little break, and when we come back, we'll be discussing The Woman in Me by Britney Spears.
You know what you should read.
It's time for What You Should Read, the podcast all about the titles you need. Join three book lovers and a guest as they cover all the best new titles.
And we're back, and we're discussing Britney Spears' memoir, The Woman in Me. We've been anticipating this book since we heard about it, so it is a great time to delve right into it. So I'll just ask what your initial thoughts and impressions were. Kelly, let's start with you this time.
Okay, well, I guess first I should say that I am not the hugest Britney Spears fan. Like, that doesn't mean that I dislike her. I think she's fine. I don't know most of her music. I like the stuff I know, but it's basically like the biggest hits that I know.
Right.
But I saw the documentary on, I think, Hulu and I was excited to read this. So, I mean, I'm saying all that so that when I say, like, I really enjoyed reading this book, you should know that it's, you know, not based on me loving necessarily everything that she does. But I thought that it was a very gripping memoir. I wish that she had maybe gone more in detail on some things, but I also understand why she didn't, because I feel like she's not really allowed to live her life. She's been a commodity for so long that it's, you know, yeah, she's probably like, you know, doing this to get money that's her money, not her family's money.
Yeah.
So, you know, I fully get that, you know, and I'm glad she can do that and share as much as she wants to share.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Kendall, what about you?
Well, I am a pretty big Britney fan. I was obsessed with the Circus album. And I remember like one finals in college, like that's all I listened to while I studied. Not really sure why. And I had tickets to see the Circus tour, but I got sick. And then I saw the Femme Fatale tour, which was excellent. And she talked about it in the book. And I really, really enjoyed this book. I, like Kelly said, there's some stuff I'd like to know more about, but I also think that this was her opportunity to kind of give the public like an outline of everything that happened and just say like, here you go. I told you everything. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
And I think she deserves that. Like that's absolutely her right. She told us more than any of us really deserve, but I am happy to hear about it. I really hope that maybe sharing some of this gives her a little bit of closure and a little bit of peace, but I think the things that happened to her are truly horrific, and hearing her explanations of it it's very upsetting. I will say maybe the one thing I didn't love is that I listened to the audiobook and it's read by Michelle Williams, who obviously is an Oscar-winning actress, so she's good. But she's not Britney. So not hearing her voice was a little disappointing, but I do understand why she wouldn't want to read all of this and relive it again right after going through the process of writing it, however she did that with a ghostwriter or not. But I get it. I just would have liked to hear her. But I overall would recommend this book to anyone, whether they're a fan or not, because we've heard about her so much in the news. And to actually hear what really happened is really disturbing and really interesting. And I don't know how you can like finish this book and not be rooting for her to have like a happy ending.
Totally. Yeah. Rachel, what about you?
Yeah. So I'm sort of more similar to Kelly in that I came into this as like a fan of her in general, because I think she is a very talented person. And you know, I want the best for her, and I mostly only know her hit songs. I don't think I own any of her albums, so I haven't listened to much of her non-single tracks. A few times I've like streamed them just to like see, and I do enjoy her music. It's just not one that I reach for often. But I was very excited because I had followed the whole Free Britney thing sort of from a distance, but like just kind of the headlines and stuff of like, man, like, why can't she get out of this situation? And so this book coming out was very interesting to me. I also in the last especially 6 months or so, just hearing the way people talk about Britney and her social media presence and a lot of the conspiracies around what's going on with her right now really like grosses me out, the way people still treat her like a caged animal in a zoo. And so I wanted to hear what she had to say. And like Kendall and Kelly both said, it's nice that she got to put out there her story in the way that she wanted to tell it with the amount of information she wanted to put out there. I think that she was very generous to a lot of people in her life that were not so great to her. I think that she seems like a very sweet person overall in general, and it hurts me that she was hurt so badly by the people who should have loved her and protected her.
That's cancer right there.
What?
I said like a true Cancer.
Oh. Yeah. So I enjoyed it overall very much.
Yeah. Well, you guys have pretty much said it all. I agree. I loved it as well. I couldn't put it down. I actually was glad that she didn't read it. I was thinking about it because I had downloaded the Paris Hilton memoir, which she does read. And I actually found that really distracting because she has such a distinctive voice. And I feel that Brittany would have been the same way, even just the prologue, because she reads the prologue. And I thought, oh, okay, I'm glad I don't have 6 hours of this, and not anything against her voice, but it would take me out of the story a little bit. That's all to say, this book was amazing. I thought really well written. I thought her ghostwriters, I think she might have worked with more than one, did a fantastic job. I was really interested to hear more about her life and her family and her background. And it's very dark in some places. And yeah, she just sort of tells you very matter of fact in some ways, which in and of itself makes it more dramatic. I think that she doesn't try to overstate anything that happened, because everything that happened is already so bad. Yeah. You don't need to overstate it. You can just say, this is what happened. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I have kind of a complicated history with the way I feel about her, because I'm about her age. And when she first came out, it was at a time when I was feeling very self-conscious about how I looked and trying to figure out how to navigate high school. And all of a sudden, this Britney Spears girl comes on, you know, she's everywhere. You can't escape her. And she's really cute. And she's showing her midriff and she's dancing in a sexy way. And all, you know, it's just sort of like, I resented it because of patriarchy. Yes. You know, I was like, oh, that's dumb or whatever, you know, but it was really coming from a place of insecurity. And yeah, I don't know. It's been interesting to unpack it as an adult when I think about, yeah, she wanted to look cute and she was a young girl, but also she was over-sexualized by society and the media. So it wasn't her that I was really upset at. I think it was more society and what they made her seem like, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I agree with the way that the media treated her. Like, just seeing clips of interviews that were done that were asking her about her breast size and stuff. Yeah.
She was a child.
She was so young. And they treated her so horribly, and they still treated her horribly.
Oh, yeah.
So she is a figure that has been maligned for years for no reason. And she explains in the book about the incidents leading up to when she shaved her head, and hearing her again, Michelle Williams, explaining why was just like, yeah, well, I get it. Like, I get why you would do that. I totally get it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I got to hear her perspective. And I also, just to what Rachel said about people commenting on her social media and stuff, like, I've seen people say, like, oh, her social media, she seems really mentally unwell. Like, she should be under a conservatorship. Maybe that was the right thing. It's like, no. Even if she's mentally ill, every human has the right to be mentally ill, and they get to decide if they want treatment or not. That's why we don't just force people to medication. Brittany is an adult. She has more than enough experience now to know if she wants treatment or not. And I don't think she owes it to anyone to explain what her mental health situation is. I think she explained more in the book than she needed to, more than any of us are owed. So if she wants to, like, write her little Instagram post with a million emojis, then that's fine. Like, let her do it.
Let her have her fun. Yep.
Yeah.
So I saw this video, or it was stitched together. It was, you know, me. Why does Brittany always spin? Why is she always spinning around in her Instagram videos? And then it said, also Brittany in back in the day. And you see all these music videos where all she's doing is spinning around.
Yeah.
Like, girl likes to spin. Give her a break. You know?
And I remember seeing her in an interview within the last couple of years where she talked about how she actually did a lot of the choreography for a lot of her music videos and stage shows and things, at least before the conservatorship. I don't know how, I know she talked in the book about how she didn't have a lot of control over that while she was in the conservatorship, but she talked about how a lot of that choreography was her.
And the idea for the baby one more time video, yes. The setting was all her idea.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pleasant surprise for me just to hear how before the conservatorship, at least she knew what she wanted and she knew how she wanted to be portrayed as an artist. And she had some, you know, she had some say over it, which is great.
I liked hearing about the parts where she was getting enjoyment out of singing and performing and how much she loved to dance. And it makes me really sad that she doesn't have that enjoyment for it, at least right now, because she was forced to perform in Vegas for years on end.
Yeah.
I really hope that she gets the opportunity, if she wants, to perform again however she wants to.
On her terms.
Yeah. I hope, you know, I mean, she talked about recording with Elton or recording for Elton John and how exciting that was. And I hope she gets more opportunities like that to just do the things she's interested in, because it seemed like she really got enjoyment out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sad to think that something that she loved so much is just kind of tainted in her mind now because of mm-hmm. all the things that were accompanying it. So I have so much like positive will towards her, and I just really hope she gets to reclaim that part of her life too.
Yeah. Going back to what you were saying about how every person deserves to be mentally ill and decide what, if any, treatment they get for it. It's wild to me that her grandmother was forced to be institutionalized, right? They thought she was mentally ill, and so they forced her into an institution. And the same thing happened to Brittany when she was in the conservatorship. And so it's just, I kept thinking about like those parallels and in her early years. And Rachel, you and I were texting, and I was saying, so many people owe Britney Spears an apology. And you mm-hmm. pointed out, yeah, her grandmothers deserve an apology too, because they mm-hmm. were both treated badly by the men in their lives.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Well, her dad's mom, was institutionalized, but apparently his second wife also was institutionalized.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the thing though. So her dad kind of had this example like, oh, so this is what you do with women who are making your life harder in whatever way. You just put them away someplace.
Yeah, good point.
I thought Brittany was so generous towards her father when she talked about the abuse he suffered in his childhood. And she says multiple times in the book, she understands that's kind of like what led him to be the adult that he was and how he had gone through so much. And it was just really, I think kind of going back to what Rachel said about her being so sweet, it's like that kind of to me is the mark of a good person, that she can see kind of the experiences her dad had and feel some empathy for him while having him be like the ultimate tormentor in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really brutal to like read about that and to think that she was under his thumb for so many years. And she still is not out here being like, I hate this fucking man. I hope he dies. Like, she's not saying that.
She saves her anger for Jamie.
She does. She does.
Whoa.
It's true. It's so true. And she's right too, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean,
her little sister
could have been harsher towards everyone. Like, she could have just eviscerated all these people and she didn't.
Mm.
And I was really surprised by it. And I have a lot of respect for her for that. But I would have respected her the same if she, you know, tore them apart too. But
again, she doesn't need to, because what they did was so horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we want to get into the Justin Timberlake of it all right now, but we can.
Oh, God. Let's do it.
Well, I feel very justified, no pun intended, because I've always disliked him. And I feel like I was right in my dislike of him because he's an asshole.
I think every day it seems like this might be my Roman Empire, but I think about all the time the line where she's talking about how NSYNC took more inspiration from Black music than Backstreet Boys did. And she said, sometimes I think Justin tried a little too hard. And they're walking down the street and all of a sudden they see this man walking towards them. And all of a sudden Justin's like, oh yeah, for shiz, genuine.
Because he sees genuine, who I'm sure had no idea who Justin Timberlake was.
And I can like, imagine Justin genuine being like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she, yeah, it's true. Like, her just describing incidents with him make him seem like such a loser.
Yeah.
That, like, her feelings didn't really need to factor in. Like,
exactly. Just the facts are enough.
Yeah. Just so icky. Just terrible.
How many times she said, bless his heart. So funny. Yep.
She said that about Kevin, too, which I thought was so funny. Like, oh, she's right. Like, these men are just so pathetic. Like,
oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Justin, just the way he not only treated her while they were together, but especially treated her afterward, where he capitalized off of lying to everybody about pretending to be this victim of her cheating on him and, you know, making so much music about it and vilifying her in the press to a point where she couldn't defend herself without looking like, you know, petty.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so nice about him in the media back then, too. Like, just, you know, everybody like has to deal with heartbreak in their own way. And like, she was so kind about it.
She is the sweetest person alive. I found it, one surprise of the book was when she talked about how when Justin revealed that they had slept together, mm-hmm. everyone actually was kind of mad at him about that. Like, how dare you say that reveal about her? And she said, I liked that. I did not like being forced to play this, you know, virgin, pure virgin. Mm-hmm. You know, she thought that was stupid because she'd been having sex since she was 14, basically. Yeah. But she's very sex positive, I think.
And absolutely.
She said, you know, I was fine with that. That way I didn't have to do it, you know, right, or deal with the questions anymore.
It was out there. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very happy with that part. Just that she was like, I liked it. I was like, good for you.
Yep. I like that she said that, but I'm also like, what a dick for putting her in that position.
Right. It's still not his.
Some people wouldn't have liked that. And it's not his story to tell. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and the way he did it, like just kind of laughing about it. Wasn't it with Howard Stern or something?
Yeah.
Like just, you know, yeah, like you might have done her a favor, but you didn't do that to do her a favor. You it did that to be an asshole.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Unintended consequences.
Yep. And then go ahead, Rach.
I was just saying, I like all the memes people are making comparing him to Ken in the Barbie movie playing the guitar while she was having an abortion.
I know. Yeah. First of all, he pressured her into having an abortion, and then she didn't want to go to a hospital because she didn't want anyone to find out. So she got medication to take at home. And yeah, he thought serenading her with his guitar was what was going to comfort her in that moment.
He just was like, breaking up with her via text message and stuff. And she describes, you know, the period she went through after of like severe depression following that, and how he showed up at the house in Louisiana and like sat with her and wrote her letter. And it just, that rubbed me the wrong way too, because it's like, this woman is going through so much, like personally and publicly, and you're out here capitalizing on the claims you're making about what happened in your relationship, which aren't true, claiming she cheated on you and everything. And you're going to come and give her a letter. Like, get a grip. Like, I hope he gets a lot of hate for this, because it's a long time coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. He's kind of a loser, it seems.
Yeah.
Well, and the letter where he said something like, I can't breathe without you. And I'm like, that is such a shitty thing to do to somebody. Like, you break up with her in a super awful way. You spend the breakup making yourself look like a victim. And then you say this, like, I can't, oh God, I hate him. I fucking hate this guy.
Yeah.
He sucks. He really sucks.
Yeah.
And she does talk about some men that she had decent relationships with. Like, she doesn't seem to have any resentment towards Colin Farrell. That seemed to be like a fine relationship. It was what it was. Like, she doesn't seem to dislike him. She talks about that movie or TV producer, Charlie Ebersol, that she dated. And even when she's talking about Jason Trawick, who she was like engaged to, it seems like the relationship sort of soured, but she does not have negative things to say about him.
No, she's very gracious.
And I really appreciated that, because it also put in such a contrast, like Justin and Kevin, that she wasn't just saying things to say them, right?
Yeah.
She was talking about really specific incidents with really specific people. And I was glad that that's how she chose to write it.
Mm-hmm.
The way her Kevin and her father and everyone just like used her kids collateral almost to get her to do what they wanted.
Yeah. So gross.
And that's why she didn't fight the conservatorship for the longest time, because she didn't want them to take her kids away from her completely.
Yeah.
And it just breaks my heart.
Yeah. Awful.
It's awful what they did to her, because they knew that that was the thing that would motivate her.
Yep.
It's giving her time with the kids or taking that time away.
Yeah.
Ugh. And it's just so sad. Like, I mean, obviously, like, I'm sure her relationship with her kids has been damaged because of this. And it's because these people wanted to basically get her money. Like, that is so sick.
Yeah. Cause those boys didn't have her around as much as they should have. Their mom.
Yeah.
Right.
Who wanted to be there. That's so sad. Like, she had that opportunity taken away from her.
I hope as a family, they get like therapy and are able to kind of heal and rebuild a relationship going forward. Mm-hmm. I want that for her.
Well, last I heard, Kevin was moving the boys to Hawaii, which apparently is the only state in the country where child support goes past the age of 18.
Are you serious?
I read that too. Yeah.
So kind of tracks why he would want to move there, especially because there's such a high cost of living and he seems very broke.
So, he's such an evil.
He's money.
That's evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's evil.
And it's going to be harder for her to see them because, you know,
Hawaii.
It's hard and expensive to get there.
Yeah. And Kevin worked so closely with her father that it's really disturbing, actually, that he was so willing to go along with whatever the father suggested because he was going to benefit financially too. Right. And it just shows that he did not care about his kids at all. Like, that was a concern for him. He did not care about Brittany when they were married after. She was unimportant to him.
Yep.
And he is such a scumbag. And I just feel so bad for her that that is the guy that like fell into her life at that time.
Yeah. Like, he from the beginning was just a freaking coattail rider gold digger and just wanted,
like, her current husband, who's soon to be her ex-husband.
Yeah.
He has also tried to capitalize off her fame, and they released an interview with, I think, Interview Mag this week to like kind of capitalize on the press from her book. And it's like, nobody cares about you, Sam Asghari. Like, go away. Like, we only
barely mentions him in the book too.
Yeah. Like, you're gone now. Bye. Like, no, you don't get more fame. She's been taken advantage of so many times, and it's so to see.
Were there any good moments that we like favorite parts that weren't the bad things?
I liked hearing her talk about her early career. I loved the parts where she was talking about how much she idolized Madonna and how great it was to work with her, and the parts where she was talking about, you know, changing certain songs or like wanting to perform in a certain way. Like, I really liked that. And it made me happy that she at least got some joy out of her career for some time. That it wasn't all miserable, you know?
Right. I liked how, I didn't know this before, and maybe it's just because I wasn't like a huge fan early in her career, but her choice to do her singing voice the way she does it, like, came when she was in Sweden working with that guy who's written a million pop hits.
Max Martin.
And she was like, we went to go record Baby One More Time, and she's like, I stayed up all night so that my voice would get like this.
Yeah.
And like, she did that because she thought it sounded really cool, and that just, and then that, you know, because, you know, you watch videos of her singing as a kid and she doesn't have that vocal fry, you know, going on. And I know a lot of people who are like, oh, they made her sing in that baby voice. And it's nice to know that it was like her own agency making that choice.
Koala.
Hi.
And she does have a distinctive voice. So that was really interesting to listen to her process about that.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts was when, so she's at her mom, she's in Louisiana for Christmas or something, and for New Year's, and she invites some friends over and they're just having fun in the house that she built in the back of her mom's house. They're having fun drinking, and her mom, I guess her mom, I can't remember if it was like her mom was saying, you guys are being too loud or whatever. But anyway, her mom was bugging her. And so she, and then she says, and then I just realized I have enough money. I could just fly us to Vegas. So we went to Las Vegas. And I think it's so adorable that it took her a minute to remember that she's a rich pop star and that she doesn't have to deal with her mom on New Year's Eve if she doesn't want to.
Yeah.
Her mom, I know we have the positives, but her mom is a true monster. And I think she gets enough hate. So I want to just make sure I give her like a minute or two here. Hearing Brittany talk about her mom giving her alcohol beginning at age like 10, and drinking with her constantly is disgusting. Yes. The fact that her mom made her drive because her mom was too fucking lazy. And this girl is like 11, 12 years old and driving around Kentwood, Louisiana and got in a car accident. The mom screamed at her. It's like, yeah, because she's 12 and she doesn't have a driver's license. Hello. Right. It was horrible. And then the mother knew about all the abuse that was going on. She knew about everything with the dad. She was deeply involved with the conservatorship. She was benefiting financially. And then to find out that she got back together with Brittany's father after getting divorced in the middle of the conservatorship is one of the more disgusting things. And Brittany does not even give it any sort of like emotional weight. She just says they got back together. That's the end of it. That's the end of the discussion. But to me, that just said so much about what a person that Lynn Spears is. And fuck Lynn Spears, fuck Jamie Spears, and fuck Jamie Lynn Spears. So they're all awful, and they profited off of their family member, their daughter, and their sister. Yeah. And it's sickening.
Yeah. And like also fuck her brother because he basically just kind of sounds like he just kind of like was like, not my business. Kind of. It's like, that's your sister.
Agreed. Yeah, he didn't try to help her.
But he was less active in the actual. Right. So
he was a passive participant, but still a participant because he could have stepped in.
And they all just benefited from her.
Yeah.
Like, he's the only one that didn't make it worse, but none of them made it better.
Right.
No. And hearing Brittany talk about that event, which I've heard a lot of people discuss this, but where she had to be in the audience watching Jamie Lynn and three other singers sing her songs, like remixed versions of her songs, and how painful that was for her and how it was a slap in the face because she had been asking to like remaster her music during this time and asked to do new choreography and they wouldn't let her, but they'd let these like random women perform in this way. Mm-hmm. That also was just so disheartening to like read because I'd heard about this event many times, like in the Britney lore or whatever, that it was so messed up that this happened. But to hear her reiterate, like, yeah, this was disgusting. Like, I can't believe they forced me to sit there. Like, that's torture for her. And she's just a really strong person for like getting through all of this. Like, she didn't storm out. She didn't cuss anybody out. She just like sat through it. And because her motivator number one was her kids. And she thought that, you know, reacting would make them take her kids away. And they did take her kids away when she reacted even in the tiniest ways. So it's just so awful. Like, it's so sad to hear about all this. And, you know, Jamie Lynn was a huge part of that. Like, she was one of the singers and she knew what was happening with Britney. And when Britney describes Jamie Lynn coming back in her house and acting as if nothing had happened when Britney had been institutionalized for months, was just like,
yeah, she's just like, hey girl, what's up? Yeah.
Yeah. It's
like a walking nightmare. Like, I don't know how she lived through that. I really don't.
That's why I wish the book had been titled Stronger, because she's so strong. I mean, the woman in me, I get it. It's a line from the song. It's a good title, I guess, but Stronger is right there.
Yeah.
Agreed. And she deserves that title.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I've definitely been listening to her music a little bit since reading
the book. You listen to Blackout, because that is honestly, I think, her best album, and I appreciate that. She's like her
best the one album. With Gimme More on it.
Yes, that's on there.
Yeah. Oh, here's my biggest surprise of the book. her natural hair color is black.
Yes. I know. I love that.
I didn't know that.
I know. Crazy.
Yeah. Because on the cover of Blackout, she's got black hair.
Yeah. That's a good album. I liked hearing her process for all the albums too. Like,
yeah.
Just because I remember where I was hearing some of the music. So it's just interesting to go back to some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I really do hope she gets the chance, if she wants to record more music and to go on tour again. And she talked about enjoying acting, and she had a hard time acting in Crossroads. But I think with an acting coach, like, maybe some of those issues wouldn't happen. And
yeah,
she liked it. She was good at it. So I hope she gets a chance, if she wants to do more of that. Like, I really hope that now maybe this chapter can be closed, at least publicly, so she can move on publicly to whatever she wants. Behind closed doors, none of this is ever going to be closed.
None of our business. Yeah.
But I hope that publicly she now can move on to the next step in her career if she wants to.
Yeah. Agreed.
Feels like a good note to end on, unless there are other thoughts.
Everybody read it.
It's great.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. And it's short. Won't take you long.
Yeah. And the chapters are short.
Yep.
Are they in the book really short?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I listen on audio, and I listen at 1.75x, so I listen to it in like three hours and 15 minutes or something like that. So it definitely was short, but I didn't think it was too short. I didn't think anything was like missing. I felt like she touched on what she needed to touch on.
Yeah. She was a lot more generous than she needed to be.
Totally.
She's a better person.
An angel.
Yeah, she really is. And she's very critical towards herself. Like, she describes herself as a bitch, as a brat. Like, I was really bad during that time. Like, saying she felt like her behavior was out of control. And just for her to say those things about herself, but then these horrible people that are abusing her and like stealing her money, she's just like, yep, they stole my money. Like, does not get into any like attacks on there. Nothing. It's really impressive, because I'm not like that.
Can, like, I also say, there are a lot of people who need to lose their medical licenses.
Yes.
Who treated her. I'm just, as somebody who works in the healthcare field, I'm like, where I work, we are constantly like recognizing and looking out for people whose families are abusing them. These people were just being paid to keep their mouth shut and drug this woman.
Yep.
Like, that's so evil to me. Anyway, just had to say that.
No, go ahead, Kelly.
I was just going to say, like, the fact that they even controlled, like, what she ate and when she could go to the bathroom. It's like, she is an actual human adult. Like,
she is a prisoner for them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because she experienced so much, like, psychiatric abuse, it's sad, because she's not going to be able to trust like psychiatrists and therapists and stuff in the future. And it's really unfair that that was also taken from her, like her ability to kind of cope and process all of this trauma. Like, they took away a huge chunk of that. And I hope maybe someday she'll find some providers that she like finds trustworthy, but I can't blame her if she doesn't.
Right.
Yeah. I like how she talked about humor helping her through a lot of it. Like, 'cause her Instagram is so weird at times, and sometimes it's cute, and sometimes it's just weird, and sometimes it's fun. And she talks about just wanting to have fun with it. It was one of her only outlets for humor and lightness in her life. And it's sad that it was reduced to an Instagram post. That was her, you know, kind of one joy of the day.
And
it's so sad.
It is sad, but
for Brittany.
She's free now, which is good.
When she described, one more thing that surprised me. Okay. When she was at the hospital, when they had basically forced her into treatment and had locked her up, she was essentially in a prison. One of the nurses showed her the Free Britney stuff online. Saying how much that kind of like motivated her and how much strength that gave her. Like, that made me a little emotional. Like, she was thanking her fans for believing in her and supporting her, and it really did make a difference for her. And that was just like, wow, okay. I'm actually happy that, like, for once like the crazy conspiracy theory, like fan behavior paid off in a positive way. Like, I'm glad that she felt that love from.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And that's the show. If you don't already have it, you can get this on Libro FM. And if you don't have an account, use promo code WYSR and get 2 books for the price of 1 year first month.
Yes, and be sure to follow us on social media at WYSR_podcast on Instagram and on Twitter. We can be reached by email, whatyoushouldreadpodcast@gmail.com. I want to thank Kendall once again for joining us today.
Anytime. Thank you, guys. I love coming back. It's so much fun.
And now you know what you should read.
You're welcome. Go to sleep, Michelle.
You know what you should read.
It's time for What You Should Read, the podcast all about the titles you need. Join 3 book lovers and a guest as they cover all the best new titles to enjoy with your tea.